Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to the special summer episode of This Just In Radio. We're broadcasting live from my Atlanta studios. I'm here with Roberta Mullen from Healthcare Now Radio. Welcome to the studio as well, Roberta.
Justin, I'm so glad to be here.
I'm looking forward to this. But we decided, you know what, let's do a mid-year check-in on where healthcare is headed, innovation, strategy, and public policy. And it's just an exciting time in our industry, great evolutions across the board. And we're really starting to see some outcomes from technology. We've always had the promises of what technology and innovation can deliver, but we're really starting to see, I call it innovation-enabled outcomes. And so excited to get into some of that today. This is my 182nd episode. Dr. Monica Bobier from Cure4U, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
CEO and co-founder. And you flew in for this, so I'm grateful for that. Thank you very much, Monica.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So, but won't you give us 30 seconds on Cure4U and what you bring together to the industry as a platform. But give us a couple of seconds on Cure4U.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I'm a physician from Denmark, and I kind of got thrown into health IT 20 years ago or something like that because I saw a need for building tools for providers to better interact with patients when they're outside of the office. And so that's actually what I've done now for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now now we did it. We did the first patient portal in the world in Denmark, and now we're here to try to do the same thing, not with patient portals, but with patient apps, another patient experience here in the U.S.
Excellent. So what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry? And I already kind of opened that door a little bit. It's just so key, but from your perspective.
I think it's really the two things, patient experience. Mm-hmm. So it's getting important for physicians and organizations out there to what is the experience for the patients. And I think everybody is kind of like wanting to go in the direction where banks and airlines have industry has gone before, yes. Right? Really, what is it that the experience for the patient, what's the flow? And I think we'll see them going away from desks and papers and all kind of yes. old-fashioned stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But the other thing I see is that they're getting much more thoughtful in how they're sharing data with patients. And it's not just about getting data to the physicians anymore. It's just as much about getting data to the patients yes. at the right time. So yes. it's instead of just dumping data in a patient portal, now it's protocol-based data flows between patients and providers.
That's excellent. Love it. What 2 to 3 best practices or strategies can you help my audience for them to navigate those trends?
Well, I think you need to be ambitious.
That's excellent.
And have some long-term goals when you do this. But at the same time, be practical and have some short-term goals to roll it out. You can't just go in and flip everything upside down, especially because in my experience, the key people here in an organization to really drive the patient engagement, that's the front desk people and the schedulers. I mean, and that often gets forgotten when you roll out patient engagement tools. Right. It comes from the top. Having a strategy around making them comfortable, making them see that they're not losing their job anymore, but it's just other things they're doing and how they can be helpful in rolling this out is really important. And then I think integration, automation is key. Standalone solutions don't work anymore.
Yes.
Single, small solutions don't
Niche
work
products,
anymore.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
work. People want all-in-one solutions like they have in HR for their physicians. They want an all-in-one solution for their patients so that it gets to be a really good experience for the patient as well, but also something that their organization can manage. I mean, it's not manageable to have 10 different solutions for their patients as well.
It's excellent. Diving into the all-in-one platform, I see that I've been seeing that evolve in the past couple of years because there's, you know, I've watched how the whole niche world has just imploded just because you can't, you get out there and you might get a health system, you might solve a problem for one health system, but that's not replicatable. And so your niche product doesn't, you can't expand past one or two customers and you eventually die out. So, I mean, I guess from your experience, you know, it's why I love Cure4U and what you guys are doing and why you're here today. You've taken all of this and made it and built it on one single platform, which is critically important.
Yeah.
It solves a lot of the integration, the interoperability problems that exist best out there, but also usability. So talk a little bit about all those different components and functionalities that you've integrated into one platform or onto one platform.
Well, and this is also because we've done it for so many years that we kind You've of learned. Like just yes. learned and yes. grew with it. And so
that's called wisdom. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah. So, but what we've learned is that you have to have a solution that covers the entire journey of care for the patient. So it's everything from online scheduling to checking in and paying your co-pays at home. It's screening questionnaires, everything that needs to happen prior to an appointment, but it's also all the clinical processes. It's care plans and remote patient monitoring for chronic conditions. It's pre-procedure prep and post-procedure follow-up, identifying patients at risk after procedures and surgeries. It's communication tools, secure messaging, telehealth, sending photos of a wound after procedures, etc. And once you do that, you will have your patients enrolled in one solution that follows them throughout the entire journey of care, regardless of if it's a short journey or if it's a long journey.
Right.
And that creates the connectivity between a patient and a physician, because now they can keep on working together. They don't end up in a block road where they now need to call and use the phone.
Yeah. No, and we're seeing that example keeps on coming up. And I don't use my phone to manage anything unless it's a significant problem that has, is like a hiccup in my life. Everything else can be managed online through, you know, a digital app or a digital process, and every guest has brought that up. So I completely agree with you and appreciate that. You know, looking beyond today, where do you see this all going over the next couple of years?
I think we will end up having true patient-centric care. I mean, we've talked about patient-centric care for a long, long, long time.
Right.
I was traveling with McKinsey & Company 5 years ago, and that was the issue, like the topic, how do we patient-centric care? But it was around how do we build buildings so that we can have the patient have one place to be. But it's not really, in my opinion, true patient-centric care, because it wasn't the data and wasn't the whole journey of care for the patient. It was when the patients were in the office. I think we'll see that we'll have an experience for the patient when they walk into the office. There will not be any front desk anymore. They'll be walking into a coffee shop where they sit down, they've checked in at home, they can have a cup of coffee while they're waiting. We're not just put into a room where we're sitting waiting for 30 minutes while somebody is typing in our data.
Right.
And that's one part of it. So the experience of the whole entry into an organization will be different for the patient. But I think a more important one will be that the conversations that will come between physicians and patients will be about what happened for the patient while the patient was at home. So the physicians will now start looking at graphs and data from data that was collected by the patient while they were at home. Because we as physicians, we rely on what we can get out of the patients when they're in the office. We don't have any way to get a full picture.
Right.
So we get to a place where we'll have longitudinal data and we can see what's going on with the patients at home, and we'll be able to much better base our treatment and diagnosis based upon that. And not so much episodics data entries in the office. But that is also going to create a challenge, I think, for a lot of the EHRs out there, because they're not built for that. So I think they need to start thinking about how do they build interfaces that can show longitudinal data, including what's happening with the patients when they're at home and not just in the office.
That's excellent. Well, in Roberta and I, we're catching up just before the show and really discussing how we see healthcare evolving and some of the examples of the patient experience, how we've got to manage that differently, much more effectively and efficiently. And obviously, I couldn't help but think of what Care for You is doing. And really that whole, you know, just digital front end. I mean, you want to dive in here, Roberta, a little bit about what, you know?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, for those of you looking up Care for You on the web right now, trying to figure it out, it is Q.
Oh, thank you.
We're listening, right?
Yes.
It is Q-U-R-E, the number 4, and the letter U.
Yeah.
So that's Cure for You.
That's
so
right.
When you're looking it up, because I had that same problem.
I know.
So we were actually talking how the next generation, they don't want their healthcare like
their
parents.
Fathers, yeah.
No. And the physicians and the hospitals, they have to change with the time, because they are going to be looking. When I grew up and everything else, you just went where your parents told you to go and you kept going, even though you didn't even like the place.
Yeah.
You just kept going.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah, people are skipping. And to your point, they don't go now. They don't want to go where their parents go, and they're skipping care. And we even talked about that with Bird a moment ago, is people don't understand the costs. It's not transparent. And we're seeing way too much. I mean, I think the number was 70% want to pay online, but 54% delayed care or did not take seek care because either cost or they didn't know the cost, and you're afraid, and you can't blame them. And so having this, you know, this transparency, but then also, I know you guys are on the whole payment side, or you're moving down that path very quickly as well, is having a full comprehensive platform where the patient can engage, they can understand what they're going in for, they understand, you know, in your case, you know, pre or post appointment and prep and a follow-up, but also having all that payment information understandable. And, you know, an appointment may only cost $100 or may cost $50 or $10 or be no cost at all. But we need people seeking care. It's not seeking care is not a solution. No. That's a major inhibitor to much larger health problems later on that we're going to have to pay as a country. They don't just go away. No. So by delaying care, we're delaying. I mean, we're going to be up for much more significant issues financially than where we are right now. So,
but I think a lot of that is also about how easy is it to get to the doctor?
Yes, very true.
And a lot of people are working, so, and some cannot go to the doctor because they're afraid of losing their job. So we have examples of patients calling in on a telehealth call from their car.
Yeah.
And that helps them, but also just scheduling an appointment. I mean, me personally, I don't ever get to go to a doctor because I don't have time to call and schedule an appointment during the day. Right. But if I can go on my app, I can just plug myself in.
Correct.
Nighttime. I mean, that was what we saw early on in what's happening in Denmark, was that we had like 30% of all appointments were done online.
Excellent. You know, that's what I'm most excited about. It's not just about reimbursement. It's just part of healthcare. You can go see your provider in person. If it's crafted the right way and integrated the right way, you can see them in person, you can see them virtual care, telehealth, secure messaging, and have your visit however you need to. And that, you know,
exactly
falls on exactly what you're saying. So in our closing few minutes, what do you see for Cure for You? And it's Q-U-R-E for you.
The number four.
Number four and the letter U. Thank you, Roberta, for bringing that up. Very good point. What do you see over the next year for your company?
We've been very fortunate. We've been growing really grown crazy the last year, and been able to get some very large clients sign up with us, and it gives us an ability to really go build that all-in-one solution that we want to do. Mm-hmm. The one that, and we have a few pieces where we want to go into eligibility and some more payment options. So, but I think really optimizing the flow for the patient, and then also building out some tools for the physicians for the things that are missing in the EHR right now, all partnering with more EHRs. Yeah. That's also we like to partner.
Yep. No, very smart. And you talk about the importance of the deep integration. And patients deserve that. And so we certainly want, you know, as former chairman of the EHR Association, I certainly want more EHRs opening their doors to innovators, certainly the leaders out there that are solving big problems. And so I'll certainly call on the industry to do that. But then also, you know, you're growing like gangbusters because exactly every single guest, you know, before you has talked about the importance of consumerism, the digital front door. And Denise was kind enough to share some of her thoughts, and she's going to jump into and talk about, I think, patient engagement and consumerism as well. And Denise Hines from HIMSS just joined us in studio as well. So
everybody's coming on time.
Exactly. I'm grateful. So, but anyhow, Monica, thank you very much. You traveled in from Florida, so I appreciate you flying for the show. But hopefully Atlanta will treat you well today and you have safe travels home.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Dr. Monica Boberg, CEO and co-founder of Cure for You. Thank you for joining us. Denise Hines, thank you. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Justin, for having me here today.
So you're the Chief America's Officer? Is that your title, your new title?
Yes. Is that the coolest title ever?
I love it. Yes. Denise is first of all, you're wonderful to our industry. You're a longtime friend of mine. But this is a new role for you. You're one of the big leaders, certainly in our state and nationally when it comes to health IT. But now you've recently joined HIMSS in this new role. So tell us about this new role.
Yes. Well, it's a dream job, Justin. It's
amen.
It's taking everything that you and I and many of us have worked on to advance the adoption of health technology, working with providers, all the industry stakeholders, workforce development, taking all of that and having a global platform Amen. To deliver services and products. And in my role, I am responsible for the global conference.
Oh, okay.
So all of the great networking and learning and bringing together 45,000 plus people.
I've already plugged it one time, but I'm going to plug it again here in a second too. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Working with the group that leads the coordination of the global conference to professional development, so all of our certification programs, making sure that we are positioning the next generation of skilled workers. So all of those services, certification, learning, education, products and services, as well as membership. How are we going to keep our members engaged? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure we are in touch with our members, providing them the services, the best services to help them continue to grow and understand what's happening in our industry? So I take all of those services, products, engagement opportunities in the Americas and work with a global team to ensure that all of our best practices, all of our initiatives are exchangeable globally, but mm-hmm. also taking a look at what's happening globally.
Yes.
The digital health takeover, I call it, or framework is happening globally. So we can look at best practices from robotics to digital health to artificial intelligence, take those best practices from a global perspective and see how we apply those here in the Americas. So it's the dream job, Justin, I have to say, and it's been a wonderful opportunity, and I enjoy all of the opportunity I have to talk about everything we've been working on, from women in health IT to inclusion and diversity to health equity to now really focusing on the patient experience and making sure we keep the patient at the center in everything we're doing.
Do you have anything over doing the themes for the hymns? Okay. Are you in part of that?
Yes. I work with the marketing team. So we have a wonderful marketing team who's actually working on the theme. So that will be revealed very soon.
I heard.
Very soon.
Tell us what goes into that, though. How do you come up with the theme for the years?
Well, we take a look at what's happening in the industry. We obviously take a look at what worked well. Our Champions of Health was a tremendous success last year.
Yes.
And the momentum from that, we want to make sure we continue to build upon that. But we also want to make sure that our industry is looking forward. Mm-hmm. We've been talking so much about digital health, innovation, keeping the patient at the center, health equity. All of these topics are moving us into the future of healthcare. And we want to make sure that our theme not only recognizes our champions in health, but we take that forward and figure out how do we capitalize on the innovation and the forward thinking that's happening today. So our theme will reflect on making sure we're focusing on bringing positive change to our healthcare industry.
Excellent. And then does that parlay into the keynotes?
The process for planning for Global Conference happens years in advance.
Yes.
And we're planning for that now. So we work with our members to go through the proposal, call for proposal process. So we wade through 900 proposals to present this year. So our team, our wonderful professional development team, is looking to make sure that we provide quality content for our members, which is expected. And then we begin the process of planning the Global Conference Convention Center to make sure it is a positive experience for networking, for getting to the sessions, for making sure that our keynotes are in the right areas, that we provide new and exciting opportunities to showcase innovation, new and exciting opportunities for learning, education sessions, for members to get engaged, for networking. Mm-hmm. As Justin mentioned, when you're walking down the hallway, you're seeing
ten friends
that you haven't seen in years, and it's like a reunion.
Yes.
So we want to make sure.
We live 10 miles away from each other. Mostly we see each other.
Hymns in the conference, yes. Right. Yes.
So we want
to
make sure.
Denise lives close to me, too, but we don't see it once a year at Hymns. Right. Yeah, that's exactly.
So when we think about the Global Conference, it's not just one thing to think about. It's a global conference, and we're bringing people from all over the globe internationally to engage in this experience. And we want to make sure it's the best experience for everyone, from the individual to someone who's just now entering the conference experience for the first time, which is truly overwhelming. So we want to make sure we take care of them. And then we also want to make sure that we take care of the seasoned professional who is there to network, meet with, have specialized appointments to meet with people in the industry, to people who come to listen to the keynotes, who are expecting big announcements from policy or come to the center to see the latest and greatest and innovate in the innovative space. What's the next theme? Where is healthcare headed? So we have to make sure that we make this the best conference for every attendee, no matter where they come from.
I don't want to put you on the spot because numbers are numbers, but what is the percentage of first-time people going to that conference on an average?
On an average, about 40% of our attendees are first-time attendees.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
And what about the vendors?
And we grow every year.
What about the – is the vendors the same?
Most of the vendors are the same, but we are now seeing the influx of innovation coming into the global conference. So we are now reaching new types of vendors. So as we look at wellness and healthcare, you may see a new vendor, for example, Lyft is a new vendor who's there.
Yeah, I saw them last year.
As we look at the full community of healthcare, we're now starting to see that we have to include others who aren't the traditional healthcare vendor to come and talk about how they impact our industry. So you're going to continue to see those vendors who you may not have ever seen before, but really have an impact in our healthcare experience.
We saw Lyft as a big partner of HIMSS-19, and you're going to start to see those big players. And so just to do a little bit of a backup for everybody, I think most of my audience is very familiar with HIMSS, the association, the Health Information Management and Systems Society. However, the annual conference that you're speaking about, you know, 45,000 people is what's expected. And I mentioned 40 to 45,000 when I got on air today, because it grows every year.
Yes.
So staying on track a little bit here, just so we can cover some good ground, you know, and you've already touched on some of it here, but what health and health IT trends are you seeing in the industry and you're navigating in your role?
Yes. Well, for me, what I'm seeing is that we're now beginning to understand that the patient has to be at the center of care.
And every single guest before you has said the exact same thing. It's a resounding theme for today.
Yes.
Excellent.
So patient care,
got it.
Keeping the patient at the center of care. So we're realizing that care is happening outside of those four walls of the hospital, the traditional settings, and now that's forcing us as an industry to take a look at the full community of health for a patient. So when they leave the healthcare setting, do they have a home to go to?
Yes.
Do they have good food to eat?
Yep.
Do they have transportation?
Yes.
And are they in an environment that has sidewalks to promote healthy living? Do they have access to be able to come back to the healthcare setting that they need to get to for their continued healthcare experience? So if we, for example, take a patient who lives in a rural setting, who may need access to a specialist who lives in, we can just use Georgia, for example, 3 hours away, and the specialist is in Atlanta, is it realistic to think that that patient can get to that doctor every week and try to get well? And so we are now beginning to understand that we have to understand the social determinants of health for a patient. And I like to call it, Justin, the three P's on where I think healthcare is headed.
Excellent.
Prediction. Prevention and precision.
Wow. I love it.
So if we can predict using social determinants of health, how well that patient will adhere to a treatment plan, or what will that patient be predisposed to in their community, their society, their background, their DNA history, then we can begin to prevent. We can, if that patient does not have transportation, how do we introduce a way for that patient to get to their healthcare setting. So we can prevent some of the causes of that patient not getting as well as anticipated.
And so then, the three P's again are prediction, prevention,
and precision.
Precision. It's excellent.
So if we have predicted what your health outcomes will be based on your history, your family history, your social community, your access to health and wellness tools that can help you get better. We can help you prevent. So we can give you the home monitoring tools to help you prevent. We can look at your past history and get you the tools and exercise and medications you might need to prevent you from getting worse or prevent you from even having the chronic illness that is predicted. And then precision. If you do contract that chronic illness, we will know enough about your history, your social environment, your past family disease states to offer you a personalized healthcare experience that will help you get better and not just a generalized healthcare experience. And so that's where I see healthcare heading. And to get there, we need the tools. We need the data and information. We need healthcare providers to not be burned out by introducing all of these rules and tools and requiring them to learn something new every day. And we need the skilled workforce that can wade through and bring in the next generation of technology who can understand and create these patterns and predictions and help us understand what's happening in our healthcare environment.
Excellent. But I do want to hear, so go through a few of the best practices or strategies that you recommend my audience to navigate healthcare.
Sure. We're going to talk about interoperability. So we're still focusing on making sure that we have access to data and good information. We also want to continue developing tools that can help the patient be in the best healthcare environment for them. So through focusing on health equity and providing tools and services to make sure that a patient can experience care in the best setting for them to help improve where they are.
Excellent.
And we have to pay attention to clinician burnout.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we develop tools and services, but also make sure that we pay attention to what our clinicians need and focus on their health as well. And make sure that we don't burden them with so many tools and rules that they don't have time to pay attention to the patient.
Yeah, 61% of clinicians report burnout at some point, and that's way too high. Mm-hmm. We can't sustain our healthcare system and all that we have to accomplish with it with a 61% reported burnout rate. Completely agree. So in our closing minute or so, just thinking beyond today, where do you see or what do we need to think about for 2-3 years down the road and what we need to manage for healthcare or keep our eyes out for?
Again, data and interoperability. We're bringing all these community services and organizations who have not traditionally participated in the healthcare exchange of information. So we need to make sure that we provide ways to get access to information at the right time, the right amount of information at the right time. And making sure that we are focusing on developing health tools and resources that can increase access to healthcare beyond the traditional settings.
That's excellent. I completely agree. And I certainly agree with your social determinants of health and really our communities of health. I love how you wrap that together with homes and food and transportation and sidewalks and thinking holistically about the patient, about the community. I think you're spot on. So fantastic, Denise. Again, you're more than welcome to stay in studio if you would like. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. You also can check out all the updates that we've launched at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.